Hear then God's holy and inspired word. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generations? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Now, perhaps I should also read a text for you as well that is to be found in this chapter, verse 7, speaking there of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. So far, the reading of God's word and the reading of our text. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And I want to emphasize that, yet he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And then I go back to our text. He opened not his mouth. As a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Dear congregation of Mitchell, and all those who are listening in with us, sometimes it is good to be silent. We don't always have to fill up the air with words and words. Silence sometimes is even better than many words. You may have heard of the strong, silent type. They are silent not because they have nothing to say, but they are silent because they have things under control. They are silent because they are at peace with what they are doing, and they are at peace with the situation. Their silence, in fact, you could say, speaks volumes. Now, so it was with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ during his trial prior to his crucifixion. If anyone Certainly, he is the strong, silent type. Though he did not say a word, he was in control. He was at peace with what he was doing. His silence spoke volumes. I want to open to a few pages of the silence of Jesus this hour with you and learn from it, be comforted by it, and also be encouraged by it, especially during this time. We may hear of such silence in the text that I've read to you, Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Let the following be the topic for this hour: the silence of Jesus. Silence under stress, silence as character, and thirdly, silence for purpose. Now, congregation, the prophet Isaiah, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes for us very precisely what Jesus would experience, and that is some hundreds and hundreds of years before it actually happened, but he describes it very precisely what Jesus would experience and how Jesus would actually act under stress. And it can simply be described as perfect and total silence. Now, we know from the gospel, of course, that Jesus was a very powerful and a very eloquent teacher and preacher. The words of the gospel, as it were, flowed from his heart and mouth, and that to hungry and thirsty hearts. He spoke, and people listened. During his 3 years ministry on earth, the people heard him gladly. After preaching the Sermon on the Mount, for instance, we read in Matthew 7:28-29 that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Even the officers of the scribes and Pharisees, who were sent out one time to arrest Jesus, fell under the spell of how Jesus spoke and returned empty-handed to their bosses and told them, as is recorded for us in John 7:46, "No man ever spoke like this man." No, Jesus could not be silent when there was opportunity to speak the gospel of salvation. No one could silence him when there were poor and needy people who needed to hear the good news that salvation was to be had freely through faith in him. Then Jesus was not silent. In fact, there were times when the Lord Jesus could actually raise his voice to a crying pitch. At times, in order to impact the listeners as they heard him. When we read, for instance, in John 7:37-38, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes as in me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Can you imagine Jesus crying out these words, the top of his lungs? Also, when it was time for him to uncover hypocrisy and deceit, the Lord Jesus Christ could not be silent, and so he addresses the scribes and the Pharisees with a tirade of words. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ addressing the scribes and Pharisees in this way? On such occasions, the Lord Jesus could not be silent. And sure enough, there are times and occasions when we cannot and must not remain silent. When there is the opportunity to speak the gospel by word of mouth, when it is opportunity, when it is necessary to uncover sin. And then we must say to our shame, and I say it to my own shame, our fault is often that we remain silent, don't we, when we should speak, because we are ashamed to stand up for Jesus, or we speak and we gossip or slander when we should remain silent. But here again is something that we can learn from Jesus. He knew when to speak, and he knew when to be silent. And it is the silence of Jesus particularly that speaks volumes. In our text, Jesus is in his severe suffering stage, as I want to call it. It describes particularly the sufferings of his last hours that led to his death on the cross. This stage in his life, he was under unspeakable stress. Mankind was busy doing their worst to him. He was, so we are told, despised and rejected. He was put to grief. He was ostracized. He was stricken, afflicted, wounded, bruised, and mocked. Moreover, he was under the stress of the burden that his Father laid upon him, the burden of man's sin and man's guilt, the burden of God's wrath against such sin and guilt. He was under the stress of sacrificing himself for his people, under the stress of laying down his life for the sheep. It is at this stage of his life that our text speaks of silence, perfect, total silence. He opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. At any other time, Jesus would not be silent, but under the stress of being oppressed and afflicted, Jesus remained silent. It was not the time for him to speak. It was time for silence. And by his silence, he again proved his faithfulness to the cause that he died and that he would die for, namely, to save his people from their sin. Beloved congregation, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7 tells us that there's a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. This severe suffering stage for Jesus was a time for silence, and by it he showed himself faithful to the task. And then I may also describe to you in more detail, it was a meek type of silence under stress. A meek kind of silence. And then I ask you, does this not draw you? Does this not attract you to him? Is this not enough reason already to place your faith in this silent, strong, silent type? Jesus Christ. Because you see, this is the Savior that you can entrust yourself to completely. Completely. But now there's more to be said about this silence, as I must consider with you in the second place, silence as character. Now, isn't it striking that Jesus, in his severe suffering stage, is likened to a lamb and a sheep? Now, I know that Jesus at times has been referred to as a lion. For instance, Revelation 5, verse 5, where he is called the lion of the tribe of Judah. But then it refers to his ruling powers and to the strength in order to bring to pass what was happened in the course of history. He is the lion tribe of Judah. But most often, and get this, most often, and particularly in reference to his suffering and death, Jesus is compared to a lamb, or as it is in our text, to a sheep. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, And as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You see, congregation, it lies in the character of a lamb and a sheep to be silently endure mistreatment. A lamb, so I'm told, can be silently led into the slaughterhouse and submit most meekly to the hand of death. I'm told that it is emotionally far more difficult to put a lamb to death than to put a pig to death. A lamb, again, so I'm told, a lamb will look at its butcher with big, soft, if not loving eyes, and will with gentle meekness accept the knife. You know, I can well imagine that many a father in Old Testament Israel had a hard time killing their household lamb for the Passover meal. I can well imagine that with the killing of the lamb, many a tear was shed, particularly by the children who'd become so familiar and friendly with their little lamb who was kept in the house. Imagine it. This lamb had to be put to death. These creatures, and I'm trying to describe not only the character of the lamb, but the character of Jesus. These creatures are so lovable, you see, so harmless, so innocent, and so quiet. Silence is right in their character. And so it is when a lamb becomes a full-grown sheep, when the time comes for its wool to be sheared off, it has to endure some very rough handling from its shearers. But the sheep will not open its mouth. It is, so to speak, silent before its shearers, as our text tells us. Again, silence is right in their character. Now again, dear people, this is a picture of Jesus, like a lamb and a sheep. Silence is right in his character, particularly as it comes to him being rough-handled, abused, and slaughtered. And as the knife of intense suffering approaches and his slaughter is soon to begin, it could be said also of Jesus that he conducted himself meekly, harmless, undefiled, perfectly innocent. Jesus entered into his suffering, and that in perfect, total silence. And if you want to know what could be seen in those eyes of Jesus, the Lamb of God, at about that time, just ask Simon Peter about it. He knows it, because we read in Luke chapter 22, the verses 61 and 62, that Jesus, in the midst of his trial, while being rough-handled, while being abused, turned and looked at Peter. And that look in his eyes was more than what Peter could handle. And so we read next, "So Peter went out and wept bitterly." Meek, loving silence is right in Jesus' character. And this is also why our text tells us that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Silence as character. As he was manhandled, roughed up, and abused, he did not protest. Sacrifice and crucifixion stared him in the face, so to speak. But he looked at it in silence. He suffered, dear people, he suffered. He suffered more than you and I could ever imagine. He suffered physically, he suffered psychologically, he suffered emotionally, he suffered spiritually. He suffered it all in perfect, total silence, like a lamb and a sheep. He was perfectly at peace, therefore, with his situation and with the will of his Father. He suffered silently. Now, this does not mean, and please understand me correctly, that this does not mean that he did not speak at all during his ordeal. Obviously, he did. During his trial, he answered the questions that were necessary to be answered. And of course, we have those seven great words that have come from the cross, so-called. But, and understand as well, but his silence consisted of no protests, of no complaints, of no expressions of bitterness, and of no utterances of revenge. In fact, when he did speak, he spoke on behalf of his dear ones, and even on behalf of his enemies. Just think of that first prayer that he spoke as the nails were being pounded through his hands and through his feet. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. But in respect to his sacrifice, Jesus suffered in silence. It was his character to do so. Dear people, again I ask you, are you not attracted to this great, strong, silent type, the Lord Jesus? Have you already looked at him? Have you seen him like those Old Testament families looked at their little lamb in the household? Is there that bond of love between you and that dear Lamb of God? Is he not in your eyes too the lovable, harmless, undefiled, and innocent Lamb? Can you identify somewhat with those Old Testament families, especially with the tears shed by the children of the household and those families, when their little lamb, which had been part of the household for a while, which the children could play with, and perhaps even gave them a name, when that little lamb had to be put to death as their Passover meal? Can you identify with them somewhat? Have you already looked and seen the look of love in the eyes of the Lamb of God? Have you already been endeared by that meek, silent approach and that look of love? Has something of his peace with the Father, has something of that peace also sunk into you, especially during this time when it's so easy to become anxious and worried? Are you at peace with God? I've reason to ask those questions because our text should have that sort of impact upon you. But if it leaves you cold, my friend, I'm afraid you haven't understood the text. And I would ask you to go in prayer and read our text again. Let the words sink in and allow the Holy Spirit to work those words into your mind and into your heart. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Silence as character. Now allow me another sort of application yet. Believers too are often compared to lambs and sheep. Think of what we can read, Psalm 23 or John 10. Then I ask, I wonder why. Of course, we, like sheep, can very easily go astray. The verse, in fact, before our text, readily confesses this. And you and I should also be ready and willing to confess this, that we easily go astray. But isn't there something more to it? Shouldn't you and I also learn from the example of Jesus that we, as it were, begin to cultivate a lamb and sheep-like character, the character of silence, of quiet submission to the sometimes difficult ways of life. And yes, we are in such a difficult way of life at this time, aren't we? Are we, are you, at peace with the Father's will? Perhaps your life's pathway has been strewn with loneliness, and that's understandable. We are called to distance ourselves from others. We are to practice isolation, distancing. Not easy. Not easy. Some perhaps are suffering because of pain or loss. Loved ones passed away. I read young people who are going into depression because of what's going on, disappointments. Dear friends, dear listeners, I believe that all of us can learn from the Lord Jesus' character to quietly trust in His care, that you would pray to be like a lamb and a sheep after Him, that you will find your trials and your difficulties and your sufferings to be the time when He carries you, like He carries a sheep in His bosom, like He shelters the sheep and the lambs. Now I want you to listen carefully, because I'm going to recite for you, no, I'm going to read for you, a very beautiful hymn that says much, and I could not possibly say it any better, how we are to address ourselves at this time. And it goes by the hymn, "Be Still, My Soul." Listen carefully. "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth all undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds shall still know His voice, who ruled them while He dwelt below. Be still, my soul. When dearest friends depart, and all is darkened in the veil of tears, then shalt thou better know His love, His heart, who comes to soothe thy sorrows and thy fears. Be still, my soul. Thy Jesus can repay from His own fullness all He takes away. Be still, my soul." But now, in the last place, let's draw from our text. Let me say something about silence for a purpose. And again, we read our text. "Jesus was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth." As you know, as you have heard, Jesus was silent in His suffering for a purpose. It was to show His perfect submission to His Father. It was to show His perfect willingness to make the ultimate sacrifice for us. Jesus' silence was for the purpose of your and my salvation. Jesus' silence implies that He endured all of this suffering in love for us, you and me, who have learned to believe in Him. His silent suffering for us has obtained for us eternal life. Jesus' silence is therefore a testimony of His faithfulness as a Savior. He is, again, the strong, silent type. But now I must go one step further yet, because there's something else that I must consider with you yet about this very term, silence. according to Alexander Cruden, who has given us the famous Cruden's Concordance, this word silence, and I give you his definition, and listen carefully to it. Silence signifies not only the ordinary silence of refraining from speaking, but can also signify total ruin and destruction, even death and the grave. Well then, let me suggest that the silence of Jesus is also symbolic of what Jesus has done to the dominion of Satan and to the powers of the sin. It is laid to waste. It is brought to silence. It has been given the death blow, in fact. And this is ultimately the grand purpose of Jesus' silence, isn't it? As he was led as a Lamb of God to the slaughter, he destroyed, he laid waste Satan's kingdom, and he silenced the powers of sin. In other words, Jesus was once silent so that Satan would be silenced. Jesus showed, therefore, that he was the stronger one. He was the silencing enemy. And Jesus has achieved his purpose gloriously. Gloriously. Satan, you see, cannot accuse us anymore before the throne of God. The accuser of the brethren, so we are told, has been cast down. You can read of that in Revelation 12, verse 10. He who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Satan has been silenced, and soon that silence will also be imposed upon sin, upon death, and upon hell as well. This is why the Apostle Paul could say so marvelously, and it was a note of victory, to be sure, in his voice. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. On Jesus' part, it was silence for a purpose. Well, dear people, as you have heard about the silence of Jesus this hour, was it not a good thing? Was it not a good thing that Jesus knew when to speak and when to be silent? We, who may now believe and entrust ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we may now enjoy a relationship that is beyond description, a relationship that has come about through his silence. And so, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, we may now enjoy a new silence that will be enjoyed eternally. It is the silence of unbroken communion with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Where did I get this from? Well, just read Zephaniah 3 and verse 17 for a moment. And I would like you to write it down so that you will remember it. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. And let me read it for you. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. And listen to this. He will quiet you. That is, he will silence you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. In my introduction, I spoke to you about the strong, silent type. Jesus Christ is the most excellent example of such a strong, silent type. He declares him to be in control of the situation, to be at peace with his Father's will. This is why his silence once spoke volumes to us. When he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. His silence was a testimony of his faithfulness. He showed silence under stress. He showed silence as a character. He showed silence for a purpose. Let his silence then stir you now to be faithful to Him, to live as He lived, to speak whenever it is necessary to speak, and to be silent whenever it is necessary to be silent, and to be at peace with the situation, also the situation that we are in presently, that we are at peace with the Father's will. And you were still fascinated with the noise of this world, with the noise of sin that is often so attached to it as well. May I urge you, please back away from it. Because let me remind you for a moment that the noise of this world and that the noise of sin will soon be transformed into the screeches, into the shrieks, into the cursings, into the swearings by the inhabitants of hell. You don't want to be part of them, would you? Therefore, back away from the noise of this world. Find a quiet spot somewhere. Surrender your heart, surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who is waiting to receive you. He is the strong, the silent type. He is willing and He is ready to save you. Just listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit and learn to say, "Be still, my soul." Begin the song of praise on earth, believing to thy Lord on high. Acknowledge Him in all thy words and ways. So shall He view thee with a well-pleased eye. Be still, my soul. The Son of life divine, through passing clouds, also the passing clouds of COVID-19, through passing clouds, shall but more brightly shine. Jesus, the silent Lamb of God. Amen. Let us close in prayer. O Lord our God, we thank You for what we could hear this afternoon about the silence of Jesus and how it warms our heart because He is so attractive. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that at the time of Your severe suffering, You could remain silent. But we thank You also for the strength that You have shown because You silenced Satan. You silenced death. You have silenced hell. And it can do us no harm as we place our trust in You. We thank You and we praise You and we ask that You would continue on with us in the weeks, the days, the weeks, the months, perhaps, as we find ourselves under strenuous situations. Grant that we may place our full trust in You, that we may be silent under affliction and not complain, but that we may trust that all things will work out in a way that pleases You the best. Make us submissive. Make us willing to be obedient even to what the government tells us to do. And grant that in all things You would have the honor and the praise. Bless the congregation of Mitchell here. Remember its pastor and his wife and family. We pray that You would continue to uphold and strengthen our brother. May he be healed. May he soon be able to proclaim the word again as is His great desire. Bless the consistory, the brothers, elders, and deacons. Enable them to do the task, particularly now as their pastor is not able to function as well. And also because it is impossible to make visits. Lord God, bless the brothers, elders, and deacons. Bless us as we find ourselves in situations that are different from the usual. Strengthen us in our task. Grant that we may be kept safe from harm and danger, that we may be kept safe also from the virus. Heal those who are touched, and bless us, we pray. And that in Jesus' name alone. Amen.